Love you. All right, if you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And while you're turning, I want to say that the last two sections here, we've divided the husband and the wife. And I don't believe in division. There's some things about division that I won't get into because, to be honest with you, I used to be real bold about it. And there's some issues that I think is really left up to the individuals in their own home. I still believe I'm right about them, but I've offended a lot of people by it. So there's some things I won't bring up, but I will say this. I don't believe in any division whatsoever in home. I don't believe a man and woman ought to be divided in any way in the household. So what I want to do together now, section number 4, is about bringing y'all back together. Now, I've split you up. And I've blasted each one of you a little bit. Now I want to bring you together and tell you about some things that will really help your relationship, help draw you closer together, keep you closer together, and make this thing rich and make you really enjoy it and make your marriage be a joy to you and make it just be something fun. I don't know like y'all, but me and Vicky likes to have fun together. She's going to meet tomorrow evening in Florida, and I'm just tickled to death about it. And we'll have a ball. You know why? Because she laughs at me all the time. You know, she originally attracted me like all men, physically, by her looks. She got me right there. But the next best thing she got me by was she laughed at nearly everything I said. She thought I was funny. I liked that. And I still like that. But we can have fun together. So, y'all pray for my voice. I'm starting to feel it just a little bit. But, amen. We're going to be talking here about God's words to married couples. And I borrowed a phrase from another writer. Let's keep the home fires burning. Does it get cold around your house? Maybe it's gotten cold around your house. Well, I'm going to tell you about some things where you can keep that home fires burning. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 15. It says, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication." Let me clear this word fornication up. This comes from the Greek word porneia. This word means harlotry, incest, adultery, pornography. I could get into some things that I won't get into. I won't mention them from the pulpit. In other words, it means any sexual sin is what porneia, what this word means. The word porneia, that's what it means, and that's where this word fornication was translated from. I've heard preachers, I've heard good preachers preach it, that it was sex out before marriage. It's that too. It's all of it. The Bible says to flee that. In other words, get away from it. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. That's a bold statement. That means every sin that you do is outside of your body. But if you commit the sin of fornication, you're sinning inside against your whole body. I've made this statement before, and I guess maybe it is a little judgmental, but it's just something I noticed. We had a 30-year high school reunion not too long ago. And I noticed that people that had a reputation of being loose or being a harlot or a whoremonger for the past 30 years, they really look rough. You know why? Because the Scripture says here they sin against their own body. And it's going to take its toll. And you all always remember this, that this is the sin that goes against your body. Now, I've had preachers preach this Scripture before, and somehow or another get dipping out of it, chewing. Of course, they won't mention gluttony. because most of them like me. Amen. This is where a lot of legalism comes from, and this scripture is not even intended to be that. It's talking about the sin of fornication. It says, "What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not of your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. God instituted this marriage to where we wouldn't have to worry about living in this sin. That's something that's to be special between two people, two married people. Amen. And we have men, I said this, I really, to be honest with you, God just settled down and preached here one night up at Barakah, and that's what threw me off one whole service. I don't feel the preaching coming on today, but this sin of sexual relations outside of a marriage is still sin. Regardless of how rampant it is and what we see on television and the movies and Hollywood and we're reading books and we're reading magazines, it is still sin. What's happened is over the years, men of God's gotten afraid to preach against it. For one thing, they're afraid to run their own children out of the church house. For another thing, they done mentioned it one time and Mr. Moss back over there has done bucked up against him, threatened to leave the church. And then for another thing, some other Moss back over there in the corner has done brought up his past and say, "Well, brother, you hadn't been exactly clean yourself." Well, let me tell you something. If you're right with God, you'll realize that your sins are behind you. And a man of God needs to be able to stand up and preach this thing as if he had never done it himself. I don't care how guilty he's been of it. It's in the past. It's behind him. You as parents ought to be able to raise your children and teach them that this is still an ugly sin before God with such boldness as though you never committed the sin yourself. People have gotten afraid of it. They've heard, "Oh, you'll run this crowd off. You'll run that crowd off." Maybe that's what God wants to do. Sometimes I think churches are too full. Sometimes, Brother David, we can't have a meeting until half a crowd thins out. You reckon why? Amen? I think it may be because we may have quit preaching a little bit. Amen? Gotten afraid to. But God's got an answer for these problems, y'all. He's got answers for them. And God's always got an answer for everything, and He knows this. And I want to tell you a little history about the people in Corinth, first of all. The people in Corinth, they had a really bad history. And, they actually, even the people in Corinth before they got saved and before Paul become their preacher or whatever, writing stories back to him, they had a big problem with this thing called sex. Corinth reminds me of the United States of America. It really does. They had a problem with this. They even had a temple over there. I believe it was the goddess of that temple was Diana, some kind of false god. And I believe there was, I got it wrote somewhere, the number in my scriptures, but there were thousands anyway. There were thousands of prostitutes in this temple. Thousands of them. And they called that a temple. That's the way they worship God. That's how messed up they were. That's how messed up the United States of America is. It's heading right there. It's getting there. So these people had to have some instructions about this, and I think we need it these days. So first of all, before we get into that part of the relationship, I want to preach or teach just for a little while about God's word concerning our spiritual relationship. And then I'll get into God's word concerning our sexual relationship. So first of all, I want to talk about the spiritual relationship. There's an awareness that must be developed. Must be developed. Well, let's go on to chapter number 7. It says, "Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman." Now, this word touch right here means a stimulating touch. You know, I use this story, and it's so true. My grandmother told us a story about when her and my grandfather were dating. They've been dating for years. They were sweethearts from the time they were 12 all the way up. She said not too long before they were to get married, she let Jake kiss her on the lips. And she went home and cried all night long. You see, they were taught which I believe to be the truth, that anything outside of a light touch, in other words, what this scripture means, anything, any touch that stimulates will sin outside of a marriage. So my grandmother and them were taught, and I believe it to be true. I believe we could really go back in time and grab this thing and bring it back in if we had enough gumption about us to do it. Anything outside of a touch that stimulates is sin. It shouldn't be that way. In other words, she was taught that she shouldn't do that before she got married. Now, I will tell you this, that sin will take you further than you meant to go. And it'll keep you longer than you meant to stay. And it'll cost you way more than what you meant to pay. You can be sure of that. You can be sure of that. So it said, it is not, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may gift yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. Now this story right here was to a couple that was fasting their relations to God. They were wanting to hear from God, and they were fasting, and they were doing without. So what Paul was telling them said, well, that's okay, and that's all well and good, but make sure you come back together before Satan tempts you. That tells me that there's a need here. There's a lot of needs that the women have, and there's a lot of needs that the men have. And we need to make sure we take care of these needs and we defraud not the other one of whatever these needs are, because if we do, we're opening up the door to Satan to come into our marriage and to tempt us. That's when it happens. So the Bible teaches us here that the husband hath not power over his own body. I don't have any right to let my body be subjected to another woman, but my wife. My body belongs to her now. Now the Lord, God, He bought me with a price, as He just said in the Scriptures above this, that I don't have the right to be living with a harlot. I'm not supposed to be joined with a harlot. I have the right to be married to my wife. And not only did I only have that right, God took away from me, and then the rest of my right about my body was taken away and given back to my wife. In other words, I'm just a slave now to God and to my wife. I belong to them too. So I'm not to defraud Vicky of anything she needs from me, whether it's physical or emotional, and vice versa. She's not to defraud me neither. Because that opens up the windows to the devil to come in. That opens up the door. Don't open a window. Well, tell me about this, brother. There's an awareness that must be developed here. There are several ways that Satan infiltrates our home. And we need to get wise to some of them. Some of them y'all probably won't even imagine. We need to be wise to the way he works. Number one, I wrote down a few of these things I really think could make a difference, is attitudes. Lord, I'm just one of them big old believers. Attitudes 100% of anything. Now, how'd y'all liked it if I'd have come in here this morning? I ain't making myself have this kind of attitude. I just asked God to give it to me, and He's giving it to me. I just really crazy about what I'm doing today. I'm into it. All right? But what if I'd come in here and said, well, whew, Lord mercy, I got 5 hours of teaching to fill here. I'm wore out. My feet's hurting. Y'all just put up with me if you can. Now, wouldn't that have been fine? I realized, and I could have done this like the devil's trying to get me to. Where's everybody at, bless God? Where's brother and sister so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? And where's so-and-so? This attitude, but son, you got to have a right attitude. And attitudes will destroy a marriage, the wrong one. First of all, being constantly critical of the other spouse is a sure sign of Satan at work. Examine yourself. Is the only thing you can say is something critical to your spouse? Do you ever say anything positive and uplifting, encouraging to them? Are you constantly critical? Are you constantly finding something wrong with the other one? Something negative, bringing out the worst in them? Or do you ever bring out something good in them? That is one sure sign of the devil being at work in your home if all you can do is gripe, grumble, and moan about something and murmur all the time. You need to get right with God. Another one is being hateful. Oh, brother, T.D. Jakes said, be bad. He's talking about somebody's wife being so hateful, she was like an alley cat in boiling water. That's pretty hateful, ain't it? What about being hateful? Just pure D-out hateful. You can't say anything nice to the other one to save your life. Bless your heart. And, you know, ain't that a shame? We won't act like that to everybody at church house, will we? Oh, we come to church house, we put on a big smile. Hey, brother so-and-so. Hey, how you doing there? Good to see you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ain't it good to be alive? Glory to God. Your wife back there thinking, fake. He don't ever act that nice to me. The same vice versa. The ladies come and say, hey, how you doing, baby? She ain't smiled all week at the house. And now she here is eating everybody up. See, that's the devil coming in and working. And if you don't get a hold of this thing, he'll have you like that to each other all the time. You'll be more hateful to those you love the most than you will anybody. You gotta be careful. That is the devil at work. It's not the other person. If Vicky starts getting that way, well, man, I need to realize it ain't nothing but the devil. It ain't Vicky Jean, it's the devil. And we need to fight against this thing because he's gonna try to get every one of you that way. Every one of you. He don't want you saying nothing good about the other one. He don't want you cutting up, laughing, and having a good time at home. The devil hates that mess. Oh, hell, he don't like that at all. No, sirree. He ain't gonna put up with it. Being constantly critical and hateful. Having a smart mouth. You know, the Bible says that a soft answer turneth away wrath. There's your answer. Next time your husband or your wife pops off something hateful to you, just answer back softly. You say, well, brother, I'm not that spiritual. That ain't being spiritual, it's obeying the Word of God. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Do you want to turn away wrath in your home or do you want to keep having a war zone? You want it to be constantly griping and grumbling and hatefulness and all the time, or do you want it to get good? You're going to have to learn how to answer with soft answer. The Bible says it turneth away wrath. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen Vicky Rareback claws come out. She'll bark out and say something, boy, I'm telling you, I want to bark back. And since I've had to preach this, Brother David, I've had to try to live it. And the Holy Ghost always reminds me at that point, soft answer turns away wrath. And I say, okay. Our givers are just real. In other words, how you say stuff's got a lot to do with it. You know, you can act real nice and chew somebody out and they never even know it. I've done it before. It works. You can tell somebody all kind of negative stuff and just be real nice about it. Have just a real fine approach and a real soft spoken words, and it'll just work wonders. Vicky said you catch more flies with honey anyway. That's truth. I used this analogy the last time, and I've really seen it a lot. Mercy. If Vicky taught this to me, I've always been. You know, I'm glad she did before I got the car business. You go to these big car sales, and you see, we think about what we've been doing all day. We don't think about what them ladies behind the counter's been going through all day. And see, that's where the Lord's growing me, is I'm learning to think about other people's feelings, not just mine. It's 98 degrees, humidity's 98%. I've been sweating, running all day. My feet's about to kill me, and I got to go in and take care of paperwork on about 12 cars I bought. I walk up there, and these little ladies sometimes are so grumpy and grouchy, and they fuss at you if something ain't just right. I finally learned instead of giving a soft answer, I'm going to give a soft approach. And I walk up and I say, hey, how you doing today? And now, fine. Not too many people do that there. I said, whoo, you look like you had a rough day. I said, yeah. I said, well, maybe mine won't be so hard to do. I'd just break out a smile. Boy, that'll help you out. And everything just works so smooth. Just that approach. It's just, and you know, the way I used to be, I'd walk up there and say, Maybe I'd say, well, I got a few cars I need to have checked out. I'm about wore out, you know. Be talking about me and what kind of day I've had. And he let them do one thing wrong. And I'd have sat there and get mad and puffed up and blowed up, and then I won't ever get nothing accomplished. There's something about the way you approach things. You catch more flies with honey being nice about things. Lord of mercy, we ought to be nice to anybody. It ought to be our own people. And I'm reminded of people that are in sales. I wonder how many people that are in sales, when they approach a customer. Let's just put it this way. Take car lot. Vicki Jean would walk out there and say, customer, say, hey, we're glad you stopped by our place. You want to keep that car? No problem. And then turn around and walk on there and fuss me out. Do you know that's a typical person, though? We put on this big front for everybody all out in the world. When we get to the house, we're the meanest to those that are closest to us. You know, that's the devil at work. That's not God. It's really not even us, because we really do love one another. Well, we didn't. We never would have married each other. We love one another. But we treat our own people the worst. One of the writers that I read, he made this statement. He said, God save us from mamas and daddies who are saints in the church and angels in the streets and devils at home. If that fits you, you need to do something about it. Lord of mercy. We need to be better at home than we are to anybody. That's our family. That's our flock. That's your husband, your wife. I mean, that will be more precious to you than any other person you come across in this world. But you know what? All these things, this hateful attitude, being constantly critical, and this smart mouth, all it does is produce resentment. That's all in the world it does. It builds up walls of resentment. And many, many people married for years, and see, every time you have a hateful word, every time you cut your husband, your wife to the bone, you've had another block in that wall of resentment. And it's getting taller and taller and thicker, and it's going to be harder and harder to break through that wall. And one of these days, you're going to look around, you're going to be married 30, 40 years, all your children's going to be gone, then you ain't going to have nothing between each other except for a big old giant wall. You see, one part of the labor and part of the work of having the kind of home we ought to have is keeping that wall of resentment tore down. Because you got an enemy, and that's the devil. He's your adversary. He's constantly going to be building up that wall of resentment. It's something. Let me tell you something. I'm going to make a bold statement here. Some of y'all may not like it. In the right kind of a way, I'd rather see you fuss than for you to walk away and close the door and not finish something. Every time you do that, you put another block in that wall of resentment. Every time you do that, you need to learn how to settle down, how to be, you know, you need to learn how to talk to your husband and wife like you talk to me about a problem. You need to grow up some. But don't never walk away from a problem, because it's still there. All you did was just put that problem on that wall. And you've made it taller and taller, and it's going to get so tall one of these days you ain't going to have no relationship whatsoever when you need it the most. You need to be constantly working, tearing down that wall of resentment. Something's bugging you. You need to pray about it. You need to talk to Him in the right kind of way. Let's don't, you know, the Bible says not let the sun go down your wrath. There it is. You done heard the Word of God. You know what that means? You got to the sun goes down, it's even to make everything right between you. Are you mad at the other one? You got a problem with the other one? You got to the sun goes down to make it right, according to the Word of God, to be right with God. I've used this before. I'll use it again. I embarrassed Vicki today. Used to, when we first got married, I couldn't understand. When you had problems, I thought you were supposed to fuss about it and iron it out, and it'd be over in 5 minutes. I'd make a mistake of doing something wrong to Vicki, and I paid for it for a week. 2 weeks. I got aggravated about that thing. I'm just like a typical man. That's one way, the other way men and women are different. We don't mind having an argument. We want to get it over with. 5 minutes, we're back in love again. Everything's fine. Women like to hang on, hang on, hang on. Let me tell you something. Vicki's the proof that that's not just a woman thing. It's something y'all have to battle harder. She ain't like that no more. I remember the Lord gave that scripture to me, and I thought, Lord, if I go bash her over the head with this, it ain't going to do no good. You know, you don't pick up a Bible and beat them over the head with it. Now, I remember one night, I just couldn't stand it. We get in the bed, and I said, baby, let's talk. I don't want to talk about it now. I said, honey, let's talk. I ain't talking about it now. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. I'll talk about it now. And boy, one night, the Holy Ghost got a hold of me in the right kind of way. I said, Vicki, the Bible says not to let the sun go down your wrath. We shouldn't go to bed at night having differences between each other. We need to get it right. You know, and she's learned over years, and she's grew spiritually as a woman, realizing that it's not natural just because she's a woman to hold a grudge against her husband for a week or two and to hang that thing over his head all week long, dangle it like some little old toy, like a cat in a toy. Back for God, oh, I got control of him now. Come on, fall it. Get it. Yeah, he blew up the other day. Now he's going to be chasing it all week long. I ain't about to forgive him. I ain't about to make things right. You don't let the sun go down your wrath. Attitude's got a lot to do with it. And action's got a lot to do with it. You know, a lot of times our actions can breed resentment. The cold shoulder is one action. Ladies, that cold shoulder, that ain't an answer for a whole lot of nothing. You say, well, that's hard for me to warm up when he's... I know that. But let me tell you something. If he tries to make things right, don't continue to have that cold shoulder. If he's come to you and try to make things right, you forget about it. Ignoring your spouse will cause a problem, fellas. Ignoring her is no good. That's not going to work. We don't need to ignore each other. You know, another thing that'll breed resentment is spending too much time with hobbies, interest, and friends. Woo! Now, I agree that we all ought to have friends and we all ought to have hobbies. That's okay. Don't let them control your life. Don't let them take away from your home life. I honestly believe that you can almost make sin out of doing things for the church house. Sure can. Take away from your family life. Take away from your spouse time, your children time. Why, hey, I'll come cut the grass every evening. I'll come trim the trees every evening. I'll come mop the floors every evening. Let that thing be busted up. You make sure you spend some time at home with mama and children. Taking each other for granted will do this. It'll create wounds that are hard to heal. Now, here's these next few things that I mentioned are going to be some things that are common misconceptions that we have about each other, or that we have about romance and love and marriage that are not true. They're actually, I call them six myths that you can have. And it'll create some unrealistic expectations in the home. You know, a lot of us have the problem of watching Hollywood and reading books and expecting a marriage to be that way once we get married, and then we come to the realization it ain't that way. So here's some things. First, this first thing is mostly a woman thing, is you should be able to read my mind. Now listen, ladies, I done admitted that we got half a mind. Now, how are we going to read your mind? And I'm going to be honest with you. That I really wonder if women ain't got that. It's scary. She'll know what I'm thinking so many times. It scared me to death. I better walk straight. She'll know it. It don't matter. But you know what? She expects me to know everything about her, and I don't. I can't read nothing. You know what you got to do to let me know something? Tell it. Open up your mouth and do like this right here. And blow some air out and throw it into some words, and I'll understand it. Ladies, we ain't going to read your mind. Just because you're able to don't mean we're going to be able to. You know, if we're doing something wrong or we ain't giving you what you need to tell us in a good, nice, submissive way. You ain't got to stand over us and act like you the boss and harp about it. Just tell us about it. I don't know. The only way I know what Vicki needs is she tells me. I can't guess it. My mind's already thinking about one thing. I can't handle another one. I'm just being honest. You have to read my mind. The next thing is a bad man thing. Intimacy and sex are the same thing. It took me years and years to figure this thing out. There's a whole lot of difference between sex and intimacy. I wrote down a few things here that I figured out is intimacy between me and Vicki that I'll share with you. Intimacy is what's fixing to happen tomorrow about 12:30. According to what time we get out of church, Vicki's going to car sale with me. That means a lot to me. It means a lot. She's going with me on that trip. I feel like most time I'm dreading it and feeling sorry for myself and, oh Lord, I'm going to be by myself all week long, way out of town. I'm just a sad little puppy. I'm going to be tickled to death tomorrow. It's going to be like going on vacation. That's intimacy to know that she'd go with me. Intimacy is holding hands, walking down the streets of Gatlinburg with the snow falling. That's intimacy. That's a good thing. Amen. Some of y'all fellas, huh? You better start figuring some of these things out, I'm telling you. Intimacy is just, this is between me and Vicki, like I said, walking around the yard to look at our flowers and plants after Ty finally got our yard straightened up. Amen. I got discouraged about my yard this year with all the cold snaps and then the drought. And I kind of let it go, but he fixed me up the other day. Intimacy is popping buttered popcorn for her and layering the butter just like she likes it. That didn't require a whole lot, but that's intimacy to her. This is something I ain't done in a long time. I guess she's going to have to buy some lime and Seven Up, whatever. She likes this little thing called cherry limeade. If I can go in there, she says, same thing with popcorn. She can't do it like I do it. To her, it's intimacy for me to go in there and fix it and bring it to her. That's kind of putting the shoe on the other foot, ain't it, fellas? We feel like they ought to serve us. Try serving them a little bit and see what happens. You'll discover what intimacy is all about. Is making that little old drink she likes with cherry juice and a cherry in it and a lime. No alcoholic beverage, amen. Don't go thinking that. You got that in your house, you need to get rid of it. I won't go no further than that. Doing something that she wants and I don't want. And not complaining about it. Not complaining one thing about it. What's really weird about that is I wrote down here, it's a little while ago, about the singing. I'm sorry, I ain't never been too wild about singers. I guess because I had such a bad taste of some of these groups, you know. Well, they opened this thing at Bible and have his singings on Friday night, and that's the last thing in the world, especially to pay for one. Pay $20, have to suffer through one of them things. I mean, that'll have to pay me. But anyway, Vicki said, oh, they're having a singing. What was the name of the group that I like now? The Wisnets. The Wisnets. I said, Wisnets? Okay. I'd rather hear Brother Chris sing or, you know, somebody in the church. Just bring Liberty's group down there and let's have a singing, glory to God. But you know what? That meant something to her. So I said, yeah, just get the tickets and we'll go. I didn't gripe about it. And I went, didn't gripe, didn't complain, act like I didn't like it. Next thing you know, I was back there throwing up my hands, praising the Lord. It was a blessing. You know, when I've come to find out that God, when we'll do things for each other that goes out of our way, that we sacrifice about sometimes, God actually lets you have a good time doing it. I used to hate shopping. I said, used to. She wants to go shopping on Saturday? Stay at home. You know, let's do something good. Let's go to a ball game or something. Let's, you know, something good. And she won't go shopping. So, you know, I got teaching on this thing. I said, well, I got to live this thing enough I'm going to teach it. I got to where, okay, we'll go out and eat and we'll go shopping all. We'll come find out they got them husband benches in the middle. All you got to do, just walk for a little while. She go to the store, find your husband bench, sit down. Maybe another husband sit down. Y'all have a good conversation. And then I got noticing that all these little weird young people with all the white makeup on, I was watching them, good grace alive. And next thing I know, she got to come and I said, wait a minute, baby, I ain't through looking yet. I got to where I actually enjoyed this thing called shopping. And now we go to Gatlinburg once a year just for me and her, a trip, for like an anniversary thing. And I like going to these shopping mall things. What do you call them? Outlet malls. And I get depressed if I ain't got no money. Do you know what she does during the year? She does some put back money. And I remember last time I said, well, she said, you won't go out to the mall? I said, well, I really ain't got no money to spend. She held my bill. I said, here you go. I said, it's back some money. So I was ready to go then. And ain't it weird how something I used to hate doing, I actually enjoy it now. You know why? God bless me because I actually done something for her and kept myself out of it.
put her ahead of me. That's intimacy. That's what ladies love this. Leaving her a love note or sending her an e-card. Planning a surprise weekend trip and getting the babysitters and everything. Woo. If you get home before her, fix her a candlelight dinner. We mentioned that before. Go shopping with her without griping. I just talked about that. When you get those spaghetti leg feelings again, tell her about it. Sometimes she gives me goosebumps. This ain't made up. This is real. You say, how are you feeling that way? Oh, you are. Because I asked him. He helped me with it. You know, we all in this room, every one of us has got different weaknesses that Satan pulls at us. A lot of us men will be the same thing. We'll have exactly the same problem. God made us that way. He made us that way. You know, I was talking to somebody earlier today, but sometimes we beat ourselves up because God made us a certain way, and it brings problems to our life. What God wants you to do, He made you that way, but He wants you to focus it in the right area. God made me very strong in that area. You know why He did? Because He wanted me to focus it on my wife. On my wife. I'm fixing to share something with you that a lot of people wouldn't like. Some of you may not like it, but I'm going to be honest with you, okay? This week, I saw a woman that turned my head. I went, you know what the Holy Ghost said? He said, you pray right now that you'll look at Vicki Jean like you just looked at that woman. You know what I did? I stopped and I prayed. I didn't get on my knees. I stopped, closed my eyes, held my head. I said, Lord, help me to look at my wife just like I just did for that second at that woman. You know what I'm doing? I'm redirecting what the devil's used as my weakness to make it a strong point. You know, you all can do that, every one of you. Every single one of you. I won't ever forget it. It's been a little while now, a few months ago. I come home. You know, when you get it right, I like to brag about this thing because I got it right. You come in from the carport in our kitchen, and Vicki was in there cooking, and I come in through the door, and I walked around. I was wanting to look at her. And I stopped and looked at her. She said, what's wrong? I said, whoa, I'll be honest, I just forgot how beautiful you were. And I mean it. I wasn't buttering her up. I really mean it. In other words, a lot of times, fellas, we have these things and thoughts in our heads, and we ought to share them with our wife. It means a lot to her. I got it right. Ding, ding. That was a good one. But when intimacy is when you have them type of feelings, share it with them. And if they get it right, if ladies get it right, tell them about it. It's a wonderful thing. Play with the hair, massage your shoulders without me wanting to get something in return. We swap out. Tell you what I'll do. I'll play with your hair 15 minutes if you'll tickle my back 15 minutes. Has anybody ever done that besides us? Oh, a few hands. But what about when you do it and not expect nothing in return? There's your intimacy. Amen. Let's move on. Alright. I can treat you any way I want. Both of us fail right there. No, you can't. If you want to have a rich marriage, you can't treat them any way you want. You got to treat them like you did while you was dating. I have a right to fix you. Lord of mercy. That's so many young people. You know, they marry people thinking that, well, once I marry them, I'll straighten them out. Wrong again. They missed it again. You ain't got the right to marry somebody thinking you're going to change them. You marry them for better or for worse. You better marry them for what they are right now. And whatever's wrong with them, multiply it times about 100. That's what it's going to be like when you really get with them. Love is a feeling. We talked about that anymore. Well, I don't feel love anymore. We talked about how you can get out of that. You can pray about it. We got a God in heaven that's bigger than that problem. You have to tell it all. Fellas, you don't have to tell it all. I just told one thing my wife I might get in trouble for. She didn't know that what I told you a while ago. I just told it. I don't have to tell everything. Lord of mercy, don't tell everything. Well, baby, I just want to confess to you tonight. There's 7 women caught my attention today. And I had 10 evil thoughts cross my head. Come on, telling that mess every day. You ain't got to tell everything. There ain't nothing in this world says you got to tell everything. I don't think y'all tell every single thing about your past. Sometimes that don't work either. You don't have to tell it all. There's an allegiance that must be developed. You know what? We should pray together and pray for one another. We should attend worship service together. We should make our relationship with God the primary relationship in our lives. That ought to be number one. I tell you what, it's going to be tough. Let's break for a little bit, Brother Mike. I may do the same thing I did at the other church the other night. I'm going to see what this next part does. We may not even do the whole teaching today because I am not going to go past 4 o'clock. So we're going to break for a little bit. Y'all are dismissed. We'll come back in just a few minutes.